God bless you. Mark chapter 1 tonight, Mark chapter number 1. This is our New Testament book that we're beginning to study through together. Relax, I know I've preached through Matthew, but if you remember, as I was preaching through Matthew, I dealt with all of the gospel accounts. So if Matthew dealt with something that Mark dealt with and Luke dealt with and John dealt with, then we preached all of them in one message. So we're doing what we call some patchwork beginning now. We've preached through Matthew. Now we're going into the book of Mark and considering the text in Mark that Matthew did not deal with. In other words, there are things that Mark wrote about that Matthew didn't write about. So since we've already preached on those things that they both had in common, now we begin to study the things they did not have in common. Did I just confuse you when I said all those things there? Mark chapter 1, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 21. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. There was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. I want to draw your attention to a phrase in verse number 24. This is the demon speaking from within this man. But he said, and he called the Lord the Holy One of God. And tonight I want to preach to you on that subject, the Holy One of God. Let's pray together. We share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. May the will of God be done, I pray. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Mark is known for emphasizing Jesus as the immediate servant. As a matter of fact, it's the shortest gospel record both in chapters and in verses. The Gospel of Matthew emphasizes Jesus' teachings, while the Gospel of Mark emphasizes Jesus' works. The Gospel of Mark has been called the shortest and clearest, the most marvelous and at the same time the most satisfactory history in the world. An outline of the book would be as follows. First of all, Jesus the Revealer in chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 27. Secondly, Jesus the Redeemer in chapter 8, verse 28 through chapter 15, verse 47. And then number 3, Jesus the Resurrected in chapter 16. Let us begin our study in the Gospel of Mark now. As we look at these verses together, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the synagogue and a demon-possessed man was in the same synagogue. Now the synagogue is a picture of the house of God today. The demon cried from within this man and cried out to the Lord and said, "Leave us alone, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." In other words, the demon recognized the deity of Jesus Christ. At the same time, this demon recognized his sinlessness. He was saying that he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He was truly the promised one. You know, it's interesting to note how the Lord is known right here by one of his marvelous names. He's known as many names just within the book of Mark, but one of his great names is our title tonight. He's called the Holy One. The name holy here means to be sacred. It means to be pure. It means to be morally blameless. It means to be ceremonially consecrated. And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is truly holy tonight. Psalm 16, verse 10, the Bible says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Daniel 9, 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make a reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. Acts chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And ye killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Acts chapter 4, verse 27, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel gathered together. Revelation 3, verse number 7, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God. When we think about the Holy One of God, there's three things in our text I want to bring out to you about him tonight. And I want to uplift the name of Jesus Christ. There's three things I want to share with you about the Holy One of God. Number one, let's notice his preaching. We see this in verses 21 and 22. I've already read it, so I'm not going to read it again. But on the Sabbath day, the Lord Jesus Christ went into the synagogue and he began to teach the people. The Bible tells us that they were astonished at his doctrine because he taught them as one that had authority and not as one of the scribes. You know, the one authority here, this word authority means with force. It means with power. It means with strength. Luke also deals with this same text. And in Luke it says that his word was with power. And that word power there means force, authority, or jurisdiction. Boy, I like that word right there. In other words, there's only certain people who have jurisdiction over certain things. But the Word of God has jurisdiction. You know what that means? That means that everything he speaks about, he has jurisdiction over that particular area. That means he's over it. He's in control of it. See, it's been said, and I quote here, that a typical service back in this day, whenever the Lord went to the synagogue, a typical service in the synagogue involved prayer. It involved the reading of the law and a sermon by one of the rabbis or one of the scribes. These men, they were entrusted with protecting the Word of God, and they were entrusted to give their lives to learning the law and sharing it with the people of God. However, right here, direct quotes, the sermons delivered by these scribes were notoriously long. Now, don't you say amen there, friends. They were notoriously dusty, and they were notoriously dry. The scribe or the Pharisee, not the Pharisee, but the scribe or rabbi would stand typically and they would read some portion of Scripture. Then they would sit down and begin to give other rabbis thoughts on that particular passage of Scripture. He would quote one after another rabbi, giving their own opinions, but never really telling the people what the law really said or, you know, what that particular passage really meant. Usually they would talk about the restrictions of the Sabbath day, and they would take a day that God had intended to be a blessing and they transformed it by their legalism into a heavy burden that the people couldn't even stand to hear about. There was no spiritual light or truth in their services. It was into this atmosphere that when those people went into the house of God that day expecting to hear just another long, dry, and dusty sermon, that the Son of God came thundering forth the Word of God. See, the people arrived that Sabbath day morning expecting to hear Dr. Dry or Dr. Dusty deliver another one of his never-ending string of just quotations. But what they got was something different. What they heard that day left them astonished. Alexander McLaren said it this way, they heard a voice that lived, speaking from a soul that saw the invisible. Boy, wouldn't you like to have been there that day when the Son of God, the Holy One of God, visited the house of God that day and opened the Word of God, and he spoke with authority and he spoke with power. He didn't quote like the other dry rabbis did. He didn't say, let me tell you what he said about it, or let me tell you what he said. No, his word was the authority that day. Alexander McLaren goes on to say that they had got so accustomed to the droning dreariness and trivial subtleties of the rabbis that it had never entered their heads that there could be any other kind or any other way of teaching religion than boring men with interminable right here pedantries about trifles or ritual or outward obedience. This new teacher talking about the Holy One of God would startle everybody. He says it was like an eagle suddenly appearing in the Sanhedrin of owls. The point here is the Holy One's preaching was with power, and his preaching was with authority because it was his own word. And may I say here that let us here at this church, let us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, And let us in our daily lives accept the authority and the power of the written word of God. We don't need to have, right here, we don't have to think up some things to preach. We don't have to dream up some ideas to share. Friends, let us take the word of God and let us preach it faithfully. Let us believe it. Let us obey it all the days of our lives upon this earth. See, our authority, friends, doesn't come from man-made philosophies. Our authority doesn't come from man-made policies. Our authority doesn't come from rabbis or preachers or commentators. No, our authority comes from the Word of the living God. First thing we see about the Holy One of God is we see His preaching. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and at His kingdom, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Titus 2 verse 15 says, these things speak. Talking about the things in the Bible. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no man despise thee. I was making a phone call to one of the ladies who've been visiting our church. She was here again this morning. And she had sent me a text. And in that text, she basically made this statement. She said, I'm paraphrasing. She said, it's like a breath of fresh air to finally find a church that is going to preach and teach the Bible. It's like a breath of fresh air to come and have my soul fed, to come and really hear what God has to say. You know, let me tell you something, friends. If we ever go away from this book, may God lock the doors out there and not let anybody else come in. This world does not need my thoughts. This world doesn't need your thoughts. This world doesn't need my philosophies and your philosophies. This world needs the Bible is what it needs. And we see the first thing about the Holy One of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, His preaching was with authority. It was different than the scribes. It was different than the rabbis because it wasn't dry. It wasn't dusty. Now, it could have been long, but they didn't mind it when the Son of God preached, friends. I'm telling you that He come forth with power and authority. He didn't say, let me tell you what He said. He said, thus saith the Lord. Here's what I say about it. That's what He did. And may we all see the authority of the Word of God tonight. His preaching, number two, let's notice His power. In verses 23 to 26, you can read it while I'm going through this. There is a man, the Bible says, who is possessed with a demon. Now, this particular man was in the house of God that day. Can you imagine? A demon-possessed man went to church. He's sitting in the house of God. And we see that when he saw the Lord, he cried out. Now this word cried in verse number 24, I think it is. When he cried out, that word cried means he shrieked. In other words, it wasn't, he just said, Thou Holy One of God. No, he's screaming here. He's crying out. Now, before I get to the main thought here about the Holy One of God's power, let me give you a couple of thoughts just to keep in mind before I get to the main thought of His power here. There are demons, friends. And we need to understand that. These demons are fallen angels who followed the devil's rebellion. And they were kicked out of heaven along with the devil. They are now roaming the earth and they are seeking to cause damage to people and cause havoc around the world. They will one day be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. There is demon activity. And I'm telling you, it's important that we understand that. They are real. They are not some figment of our imagination, and they are out to hurt you and to cause havoc around the world because they hate Jesus Christ. Secondly, then I'm going to get to the main thought of this point, intellectual knowledge of Christ is not all that's needed for salvation. The reason I say that is the spiritual underworld. In other words, verse number 24, let's see what he cried out. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Who is speaking this? This is the demon speaking this. This is not the man. This is the demon inside the man who's speaking out and saying, I know you. You are the holy, sinless Messiah. That's what it means. But that demon will burn in hell forever. He knew who Jesus is, but he never submitted to him. May I say this to you? These devils who know who Jesus Christ is. You know, I believe, I can't prove this, but I believe the devil just sits back and laughs at those who deny that there's even a God. Because even the devils believe, friends. The devils themselves, the Bible teaches, I'll quote it here in a minute, but the Bible plainly teaches that the devils themselves believe there's a God. They believe more than some human beings believe. But it doesn't mean that they're going to be in heaven for all eternity. What's the point here? James 2:19 is that verse. It says, thou believest that there is a God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. These demons know him intellectually. But notice what the demon said. He said this, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? In other words, I know who you are, but I don't want anything to do with you. That's what it means. It means that they are completely on the opposite ends. It means that they're completely on the other end of each other. Whatever Jesus desires, this demon wanted just the opposite. He knew Jesus, but he wanted nothing to do with him. That pictures a lot of lost people today. They will look you right in the face and say, I know he's the only way to heaven. I believe that. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve hell. And I know if I ever get saved, it's through Jesus Christ. But in their heart, they have never yielded. They know who he is, but they've never said yes and bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. This is just a couple of thoughts to keep in mind. I'm telling you here that we need to understand this. There was a man that put it this way, the life of Christianity consists in possessive pronouns. For instance, he said, it's one thing to say Christ is a Savior. It's another thing to say he's my Savior. It's one thing to say Christ is the Lord. It's another thing to say he is my Lord. Christianity is possessive pronouns. It's not he's a or the. It's he's my. He's mine. And I'm his. And let's get back to the power here. Once the demon acknowledged the Lord's identity, the Lord Jesus rebuked him and said, hold thy peace. You know what those words mean? It means be muzzled. It means shut your mouth. That's what it means. And come out of him. That word rebuke there means to censor. It means to admonish. It means to forbid and to charge. See, the Holy One of God spoke to the demon, commanding him to be quiet and to come out of the man. Now, it's common consensus and one that I agree with that the reason he told the demon to be quiet, because question, is what the demon confessed the truth, yes or no? Yes. Is he the Holy One of God? Yes. But it's common consensus, and again, one that I agree with, that the reason he said be quiet is because the devils and the demons were known for lying. They were known for telling untruths. And Jesus Christ did not want a demon that's known for being a liar to say you're the Holy One of God. Because he didn't want anybody to reject him because the liar called him what he truly is. Now this being the case, verse 26 tells us that when the unclean spirit had torn him, and that word torn there carries the idea of a spasmodic contraction. It carries the idea of convulsing with epilepsy. We might have some folks here who deal with epilepsy. This word torn here carries the idea, if you've ever been around somebody with epilepsy and they have an episode, okay? This is what this man's body did. That's what that word torn means. It means just like somebody has an episode with epilepsy. He was just convulsing all over the place whenever the demon came out of this man. The Bible tells us right here that when he did that, the demon cried with a loud voice and came out of him. Luke tells us that the demon threw the man in the midst. But it's interesting, Luke says, but it did not hurt him. I like that. The people were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, and they said, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Luke says the people said, "What a word is this?" Read it. "What a word is this? For with authority," here it is, "and power, he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Here's what I'm saying. His word was enough to send the demon out of this man. What amazing power the Holy One of God had. This demon had no choice to stay inside this man, because the powerful Holy One of God told him, "Come out." This goes to show that there are no hopeless situations with Jesus. What I mean by that is this: he has the power to do anything he chooses to do, and even the devil and demons are in subjection to him. Get this. Even one who has a demon speaking through him is not beyond the power of the Holy One of God. Let me ask you a question. What need do you have this evening? What is it that you seem to think that's just impossible? There's just no hope. I might as well throw in the towel. What we learn from this lesson right here, the Holy One of God, not only his preaching but his power, is we see that if he can cast a demon out of a man that's talking to him, friends, surely he can help you with your problems too. You know, the Bible teaches us in Jeremiah 32, 27, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Behold, I am the Lord," the Bible says, "the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Psalm 147, verse 5, "Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite." The Holy One of God, his preaching was with power and authority because it was his word. Let us apply that to our lives by saying, let's not preach man's word, let's stick with the word of God. Secondly, his power. He is more powerful than the devil, and when he spoke to the devil had to obey, which means he has power to help me with my problems tonight too. Number three, not only his preaching and his power, but thirdly, we see his promotion. We see this in verse number 28 of our text, Mark chapter 1 and verse number 28. Notice what happened. "And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." See, after these people heard the Lord's word and saw his mighty power over the demon, the Bible says immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Luke's account puts it this way: the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Now, this word fame used in Mark is also used in Luke, but it's different words. But when you look at it combined, here's what that word fame means. It means his audience, his ear. That means those who are willing to listen. It means the sound of him, the roar about him, the report about him. It means because of what those people saw in the house of God that day, it set their heart on fire. And they went out into the world and they began to gather more audience for him, a greater hearing for him. I'm talking about those who wanted to come and hear for themselves, those that wanted to come and listen for themselves, those who wanted to see for themselves, and they started sounding out about him. They couldn't help but just talk about what they saw in God's house that morning. Now, again, it's been said, by the way, would to God that the Holy One of God would so move by his word and power in the house of God that the people gathered there immediately go out and spread his fame everywhere. Would to God that would happen. See, you know what happens when the Spirit of God shows up in a service? You talk about it. When God shows up, when the Lord shows up and you see things that only he can do. You can't help but tell somebody at work, let me just tell you what happened at church yesterday. Let me tell you what happened when the invitation was given. This is what's happening here. And let me remind you here that in Jesus' day, the people just weren't excited about the synagogue. It was a place where they just, oh, I need to go, but it's just drudgery. It's always the same, and always dull, always boring, always a waste of time. But when Jesus came to that church and worked in power, the people left the house of God excited about what they heard and saw. And they spread the word, and multitudes responded. You know, the world's tired of the church. They're sick to death of legalism, ritualism, and hypocrisy. They watch us live and they see no difference between us and them. What the world is looking for is not business as usual from the church. What the world is looking for is the power of God. When the church becomes a place where the Holy Ghost moves in power, doing the unusual and changing lives for the glory of God, are you listening? They'll come. They'll be curious. I heard about it. I want to come see it myself. When we preach our message in the power of God, they'll respond. Not all of them, but some of them. As a church, we could do nothing better than to get on our faces before God and seek His presence and His power in these days. We don't need a new Bible. We have the one we need. We don't need some new style of music. We don't need coffee and donuts. Hey, what we need is the power of God. And what we need is the presence of the Holy Spirit. I believe it was John Wesley who said this. He was asked one time about his popularity. In other words, why do so many people come and hear you? Here's what he said. I just get myself on fire and the people come and watch me burn. You know, that'll work for the church in these days too. If the church is on fire, some of the world will come watch it burn, friends. Matter of fact, there's a story here. It says one night a church caught on fire and was burning to the ground. As the pastor was watching it burn, he noticed a man standing in the crowd watching the church on fire. And the pastor recognized him because he had invited this man to church over and over again, but he'd never come. So the pastor went over to him and said, I've invited you to come to this church many times, but you never would come. Why are you here tonight? And the man said, this is the first time I've seen this church on fire. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of truth to that illustration. If we walk around, I know people are put together different. I am not promoting that if you don't shout from the rooftops and if you don't swing from the chandeliers, you're not Spirit-filled. No, I cry when I feel the Holy Spirit. But I can guarantee you this. I'm excited about what the Lord's done for me. I'm not preaching that you need to shout and all this kind of stuff and wave your hanky. But what I am preaching is this. Don't sit there like it's drudgery to be called a child of God, friends. I mean, who in the world wants what we have? We just walk around, good night, it's just another Monday morning. Just terrible. I'll tell you one thing, it encouraged my heart. We've got some of these precious international students here with us and so on. The one who told me this might be here tonight, but anyway, one of them looked at my shoes and said, cute shoes, cute shoes. One of them looked at me. She may be here tonight, but she looked at me and she said, you are passionate. You are passionate. You know what I say to that? Amen. Amen. Again, don't misunderstand me. Because some preachers will get up and say, hey, if you don't shout, you don't raise your hand, you're not right with God. That's hogwash. That's trash. That's hogwash, friends. But I do know this. We all ought to be excited that we're on our way to heaven. And we ought to show the world that we're happy about it. Amen or not, friends. Let's get on fire for Jesus Christ. Ask God to give you some Holy Spirit spizzeritum, whatever kind of word that is. I mean, ask God to give you some excitement. Be excited about going. Hey, you're not going to burn in hell forever. You ought to get excited about that tonight. You're on your way to heaven. Jesus has shed his blood for you. He saved your soul. He's been good to you. Get excited about it. Tell the world about him. What happened that day in church is Jesus came to it. He preached with power. He preached with authority. He kicked the devil out of it. And they went everywhere saying, I just got to tell you what I saw in the house of God today. What a passage of scripture. God help us to see this. The point is, they saw the power of God and they went out to spread the news about the Lord. The Bible didn't say the fame of the synagogue spread. It's not the fame of the church. It said the fame of Jesus spread. We need to spread his fame. Tell people about him. Let us beg God to visit our church services. Let us beg the Holy Spirit to change lives and go out and tell the world about it. In other words, let me just say this. I'm just about done here, but one reason people don't talk about the Lord is they don't see his power in their lives. See, when you see God do something for you, I mean, when you see God answer a direct prayer or save that person that you've been praying for so long, or I mean, just God visits your heart. And I mean, you know that God spoke to you, whether it be in your morning devotions or evening devotions or in family devotions or in the church house or at work. I mean, when God really shakes you and you see the power of God, listen, there'd be more talking of God if there was more moving of God. And when he moves, you talk about it. You talk about it. See, the interesting thing about Rachel's testimony tonight is that she talked about what God did. It's because it's in her heart. It's what she remembers. It's what changed her life. It's not what the Wilds did. It's not what that person did or Tom Farrell did or that preacher. No, Jesus Christ did some wonderful things. I'm telling you, let us understand that we're in this life not to lift up Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're not promoting our church. We're not promoting this preacher. We are promoting Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He's the one. He's the Holy One of God. And when he speaks and his word is honored and he casts out demons and he puts a muzzle on that demon. Hey, I like it when he said, hold your peace. Don't speak anymore. Shut your mouth. Be muzzled. And the Bible says that the only thing that demon did from there on out was cry out. He didn't say a word. He cried out, but he didn't say another word. Let me tell you why. Because the Holy One of God put a muzzle on his mouth. We need God. I need the Lord. You need the Lord. We need the Holy One of God to visit our families, to visit our lives, to visit our workplaces, to visit our churches, so that when God's people come together and watch in amazement and astonishment, look what God did, then go out and spread his fame everywhere we go. You know what we need? People who leave tonight and spread the fame of Jesus Christ all over the Tri-Cities. So I ask you a question, who are you going to talk about this week? If you talk about anybody other than Christ, you need a visit from the Holy One of God. And so do I. The demon cried out that day, calling Jesus the Holy One of God. And may I say that even though the demon wanted nothing to do with the Son of God, he was right in what he called him. He really is the Holy One of God. He is the Messiah. He is the virgin-born Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. And in this passage, we saw his preaching, his power, his promotion. Let us learn these three lessons. Number one, his word is our authority. Number two, there's nothing too hard for him. Number three, let's point others to him and spread his fame everywhere we go. Asking others to come see what we know to be true. That's Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you for this service. Help us to understand this. Help us to believe it. Help us to trust it and obey it. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. And as soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I start where I try to always start. and that is with your soul salvation. This Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God, do you know Him as your Savior? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Is the pronouns possessive in your life? Is the Lord your Lord? Is the Savior your Savior? Is the Holy One of God your Holy One of God? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you haven't, or if you have questions, let us come. We'll take a Bible, share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you about the authority of His Word in your life. See, any time that we're doing something that we should not be doing, in other words, God's told us not to do that and we do it, we're saying that His Word is not our authority in that particular area. You see what I'm saying? We need to live by the Bible. We need to preach the Bible. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you about something in your life that you really need God's power in. And since He can cast out demons, He can help you. I don't know what kind of problem you have. Maybe I do, but maybe I don't. But I know this, whatever it is, God's bigger than that. He can help you with it. Remember, the Lord's dealing with you about just spreading His story. Not spreading the fame of some place or some person, but spreading the fame of Jesus. May I encourage you as you talk about this church? Yes, you invite people to this church, come to this church, but you invite them to come to Jesus as you do that. I appreciate folks who may say, you know, you need to come hear our pastor preach. But friends, listen to me. That's not big enough. That's not big enough. They don't need to come hear me preach. They need to come to a place where Jesus is glorified. Come to a place where His Word is preached. Come to a place where much is made about Him. Let us make much of Jesus. And let's spread His fame everywhere we go. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, apply it any way you want to apply it. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary begins to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place now? Would you do that as He sings? Come on. You say, I have a special need in my life. I need the power of God in it. He's got it. He can help you with it. Closing comments here. All seniors in high school who are planning to go to the senior snack, if you'll meet with Brother Bob out on the front porch right after the service, mind you about the cancer ministry meeting in the chapel. Deacons, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Please be right in your place here if you possibly can be. Okay? Very good. I'm going to ask Brother Todd Harless, sir, if you'll lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer.